March 1st, 2022, it's the Waffle Pedro Show.
Well, I'm in some that I like, and I might be leaving out quite a few.
That always happens.
Yeah, there might be quite a few I'm leaving out. Tara Silva, for one. And all the great solos, you know, like Miles and Sonny Lana. Guys like that. But when I like or mention a guy like Monk, he's a, to me, he's a soloist, and he's got, you know, well, he writes so many things, you know. And there's just few like him, really, you know, like Charlie Parker was like that. He could play, and he could write quite a few things, you know. Dizzy, he writes quite a bit, too.
What about Benny Golson?
Benny Golson, he's another.
What about Jimmy James?
Quincy. G.G. Grice, too. And there's a guy who plays, he's in the Army right now, he plays tenor, named Wayne Shorter. I think he's going to contribute quite a bit, too. Because he has this, double talent. He can play, you know, and then he's got enough stuff to play a whole lot and then sit down and write a lot too, you know.
Show. Happy Tuesday. Started off with August Boone asking John Coltrane about musicians he dates back in 1958. And we had Big Butter with Left Field. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got Tim Biscus. Welcome aboard, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
Right now,
nice
aboard. Want to have a, well, I haven't got to spiel much, a little bit. But we'll do a little more because I'm curious about your music journey. But first, we got to give credit to Steve Bono, Devin Sarno for the Connects.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, please bring, Tim, your earliest musical recollection memory.
My parents were kind of, they weren't really music people. You know, they had a really kind of small record collection. And I was in the like late '60s, early '70s and they had like Smothers Brothers records and Christmas records and stuff like that. And for me, the most fascinating thing about any of it was turning it on the wrong speed, you know, and listening to records really fast. And, they had this 7-inch single of a guy doing an impression of Bobby Kennedy singing Wild Thing. And there was a skip in the record right when he said, I want to know for sure. And it was, you know, Bobby Kennedy style, Noah for sure. And it
kind of Boston, kind of talk.
Yeah, Noah for sure. Noah for sure. Noah for sure.
And me and my brother. You're not going to pronounce any of your R's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was just mesmerizing for me. I think that for me that was the.
If you're going to have a skip in the record, that's where you fucking want it, right?
Exactly. Yes. So it was spot on. I still have that record, and it still skips exactly.
Yeah, but later on, I don't know if you ever got into, you know, a drummer man has a lot of little rhythmic patterns, but then, you know, the idea of the loop, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's central to my musical output is, you know, drumming and looping and computers.
Well, I think even on the bass, you know, for the longest time people, oh no, four string guitar. Mm-hmm. I really think it's four string bass. And even on guitar, how many, unless you're Paganini or something, you know, thinking you're doing, got a cape on and doing that violin, melody lines that don't repeat after what. There is some kind of drumming like that, though. Perk told me that in India, their loops are really huge.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
No huge, some kind of a nomenclature to transcribe it with open hand, close hand. Now, some dudes, they get one for their life, and masters have three or four. They're just
yeah.
big.
But they're like 27 measures long. Yeah. Like that. You know, they take a week to play.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a random thing, but it's actually this huge, long ass. Well, it shows to go that humans have had all different ways of making music, but it seems like one culture has dominated for a couple of hundred years. But I think that's starting to change. And not like you get rid of the Mr. Schubert and all that stuff, but yeah,
no.
You just increase the vocab.
You just get constant.
Let me ask about the drums, because, you know,
yeah.
On YouTube.com, you can find a half-hour documentary on Elvin Jones called Different Drummer. And he talks about, he started off on Pots and Pans.
Mm-hmm.
And then his sister and his paper route, you end up getting. How did you get on the fucking drum?
Well, I remember going on a road trip. Well, we went on road trips all the time. And my older brother, had two rulers. And he was just banging on the back of the seat of a car while we were driving. And, you know, I was 5 years old or something like that. And I just remember kind of checking into that and going, oh, all right, there's something there that I really like, you know. And then years later in high school, my older brother, again, had a friend, and he was playing guitar, and he had a friend who brought a drum set over and left it in the garage for, like, years. He just kind of forgot about it, you know, and
donate.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just would go out there and beat on it and try and figure things out.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
You know, I bought a disco record accidentally. I my older brother was really into Kiss, and they had that Casablanca label on all their records.
Neil Bogart.
I just thought that was Kiss.
I'll tell you, there's a picture. Speaking of drummers and Casablanca, of course, there's all kinds of P-Funk. George Clinton for a few years was doing stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a fucking Last Poet record, and the drummer man is Bernard Purdy.
Oh, my God.
Usually Last Poets only had some young man on conga or something, right? Kumba or something. This was
the
whole bunch. Yeah, you got the whole trap kit, and some dude named Man, he's listed on the record, did the bass and the guitar. I read somewhere where he was some homeless guy they never saw again.
So, no shit, I got to find that.
I think it's Bernard Purdy is part of the title. It's Bernard Purdy and the Last Poets.
Ooh,
it's called Garden of
Delights.
And one side of the record is a fucking opera called Beyond Der. Yeah, it's in three parts. It's a trip. I really recommend this record. And it's on Casablanca. So you're looking at a label. And what'd you get, Donna Summer or Village People?
It was the Spinners.
Spinners!
Yeah.
Wow, they're before disco, but it was their disco years, yeah.
Yeah, it was Rubber Band Man.
Oh, I love that
song. I put it on, and I was just like, holy shit, this is amazing. I was like, this is better than Kiss.
Actually, they later on, I was born for loving you. They tried some disco thing later on.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you about first gig that you saw.
First gig that I saw, I mean, with my parents, it was Smothers Brothers at Magic Mountain.
Yeah, all right. And what if, I think Tommy played the fucking bass.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They played music, and they were, I mean, you know, they played some pretty aggressive folk music comedy. It's pretty exciting.
That's a genre name. And then what about school? I mean, you said something about school years, but in school itself, did you, were you in the choir, the marching band, shit like that?
I was in the marching band. Yeah, I played drums.
Well, which one?
The bass drum. I carried the big bass drum.
There's a little schlep there.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of a schlep. Not as bad as a sousaphone.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But out there. Well, what about, you know what, every drummer I know, I mean, kind of a younger man, it's the tri-toms everybody wanted to get on, but only, only a couple cats could get on.
Yeah, no, I never had the chops for that. You know, it was like, I liked the idea of snare drum. I liked the idea of rototoms and all that, or, you know, the tri-toms. But it just, I didn't have the patience to learn all the technical stuff. I was more interested in kind of like, you know, letting, I don't know, kind of figuring out my own stuff rather than trying to look at a piece of paper and figure out what I was supposed to do according to that. It just didn't, it never has really worked for me, you know.
You know, John Coltrane said it's better if you play something from memory than reading it. He said you should play it with more, he said you could play a shoestring if you're sincere enough about it.
Yeah.
Look, you gave me this Book of Genius. I want to play it. Big butter.
Yeah.
Bye. Thank you. game. A game that will change your life. A game that will change your life. Maybe you've played it. Maybe you know someone who's played it. You know me, you know somebody who's played it. A game that will change your life.
Sexual daggers! 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 Sexual daggers!
My 13-year-old neighbor, she comes over to play this game. What is this game, I ask? What is this game, I ask? What is this game, I ask? So she comes over and takes my checkerboard off the shelf. Changed my life. What is this game, I ask? What is this game, I ask? She sets up the checker pieces one by one and sets it up for an easy victory. What does the winner get? What does the winner get, I ask? What does the winner get, I ask? What does the winner get, I ask? Molestation! 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 Game! One game!
After lying a bit longer awake, alone but not lonely, in the gray forest, Pariah looks up to see yet another visitor walking towards her. This time, not in a dream. This is Poser, our witness to this tale. Unbeknownst to Pariah, he had been with her all along, silently watching the scene unfold. When the iron gates of Clotur were flung open and Pariah was exiled, Poser left the city trailing behind her. He is another witness to truth, a truth Pariah has yet to see. When Pariah had gazed at him in the jeering crowd, he saw himself as a witness. When they banished Pariah, he knew he could not go home again. Throughout the time she spent in the forest clearing, Poser had watched Pariah silent, afraid to announce his presence. Poser enters the clearing. He knew he needed her courage more than she needed his aid. Poser gazes at Pariah, who returns the gaze. They see themselves clearly in one another's eyes. Under the gleaming light of the moonlit sky, the two lovers embrace, pretending the night will last forever. They have known each other since the end of time.
For one night, just pretend. You can be the earth while fire, air, and water guide me along every square inch of your oceans and your masses of land. Toward that serene balancing point, so you never have to deviate from your axis ever again. Just pretend.
We'll be right back.
Mike Rapido Show, that chunk of music started off with Big Butter, Book of Genius, and Brand New from Alice Bag, Avientate. Yeah. She moved to Chiapas.
Nice.
She was the singer of the Bags.
I remember
the
that.
Name. Yeah, she's got a bitching book called Violence Girl, East L.A. There was a few Latin. I remember there was a Joe Vex had pad three, two, three, four pads. That's been a minute play. But Toko Hanna with her very first single ever, A Long Awakening. Out of Ohio, Akron, huh? Golems of the Red Planet. That's Harry. With Bashar Zova. Something he did for John Zorn. Or with. Weird Nightmare, Brand New. Dark Room. Out of Poland. Artie Cooley Rolney. Probably fucked that up, sorry. And Bucharest, maybe that town in Romania. Close neighbors. Senior Salty Balls with Sexual Checkers, Bombs Prender, Road Trip. Speaking of road trips, they're from D.C. These guys have been together 40 years, maybe recorded 9,000 songs, did 6 gigs. They're still going. Sam Locke Ward and Bob Bucko Jr. out of Iowa with Fat Fuck in a Party Hat. David Gerard from his new album, A Lullaby of Memory. Just recently from Chalista, Pretend. And finally, some more Big Butter with Praise. Big Butter, the band with your brother.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
So he's a big part of you from going back to those fucking rulers. The back of the
street. Yeah. That was my older brother. My younger brother and I bonded.
Oh, so you're in the baloney seat.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
You know where I got that? Scott.
Where? That's good.
Scott Action. Rock Action. Scotty Ashton. He told me his ma said, Scotty, you're just a baloney. Because Ronnie was older and Kathy was younger. Yeah.
So I'm gonna use that.
Now with me and my band guys, and we talk about it like the seat on the airplane. You know the baloney.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So Big Butter's with the younger. But who got you into the stuff was the older.
Well, kind of. I mean, he got me into Kiss and rock and roll. And
his
then,
buddy left the fucking trap set.
Yeah, yeah, that was nice. But it's like, for me, I started really getting into music when new wave and punk rock and all that stuff started happening. And
Did you get another thing? Not after school, like graduate, but like afternoon, the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band with some school buddies?
Yeah, that was high school for sure. I mean, it was like my last year of high school, I really got into it and started playing in several bands at the same time. But, you know, it was...
Are you still using that set, that donate set, or did you get your own by then?
Okay. No, I was using that set. It was falling apart by the time, you know.
Now, did these bands, did they do gigs? Did they have names? Did you write your own songs? What was it? What
yeah.
Was
yeah, the first band was Vicious Bunnies with, and that was like kind of like a gothy kind of drone dirge band. We had this crazy singer that went up on stage and like sliced his wrist and... We were all dressed like priests, and it was
What is that band? Cradle of Filth, right?
Yeah, same vibe.
Same
sure.
vibe.
Yeah.
Can you remember the first
like
Vicious?
85, 86.
Can you remember the first Vicious Bunnies gig?
I think there were probably 3, and the only one I remember is that one where because the lead singer was like a 350-pound dude who had a mohawk and always wore leather pants and chaps and shit like that, and he was.
I'm glad you said chaps and not assless chaps, because what are the other kind?
Yeah, yeah. He was that guy. He was really into leather and but he was just a sweetheart. He was a great guy.
Coming out in high school too, because that's all that peer pressure. So that balls out. Kind of a hero guy.
Yeah. Definitely, and he was like, he was older too, you know, I think he was, I don't know, in his 20s, and I was just like, I gotta hang out with this guy. I met him at a Clash show at in Fresno.
So, Fresno's where you grew up? That's where my pop retired after the Navy.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Here's a crazy story. I met you at the Wild Blue when Fire Hose.
Shit, that was the day they put him in the ground.
And he wanted dude, to be and borrowed, we talked
he
about
wanted
it.
To be buried at sea. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
What? I remember you were just a kid.
Yeah, dude.
Criminy. The Wild Blue, yeah. It was just a coincidence with that fucking... Because I didn't want to go to that thing. He told me... Wow, what a trip.
I remember.
Okay.
And you said, I'm doing this show because... Yeah, you said, I'm doing this show because my dad died and I got to be at his fucking funeral. So I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, that was my funeral appearance. I didn't even go to D. Boone's. Ronnie's was the first one I went to. And it was... I didn't know what to do, so I spoke some... Leaves of Grass. Well, I asked Ig, is it weird, Ig? And Ig says, yeah, it's weird, but for this, it's okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay, so the only last three gigs. Then what's the next band? What's the next band?
The next band was the Festival of Pain.
I noticed a pattern here.
Yeah. Well, this band was like a guy that I met that was like a college DJ. He had a show called the Late Night Nimbus, and he was playing ambient music and, like, you know, new age and stuff like that.
So, what's the big school? Davis is near there, right?
Well, he went to Fresno State.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Of course, that's in the town.
And they had the KFSR radio.
Is that the Bulldogs?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
The Red Wave.
Because I remember one time doing a gig at UC Davis with Living Color, and the guitar man asked me to teach him to play chess, and I think Vernon Reed don't know how to play chess. That was a trip. But anyway, okay, so he's a DJ, so he knows about a bunch of different kinds of music. So.
Yeah, huge record collection, like faithful believer in Eno and the whole krautrock world and all that stuff.
Jackie Leibzeit. Was he an influence on you?
I don't remember that.
That Can was drummer. That? Can
drummer. Oh, I mean, I didn't hear any Can then. I heard a lot of like...
Noi?
Yeah, Noi and Cluster and you know, the more kind of ambient side of it. He was really...
Tangerine Dream, Klaus Schulze.
Yes, there you go. Okay. Yeah.
Not a lot of drums going on.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of late night sipping tea and drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and talking about girls and, you know, tripping out on weird music.
But did you do gigs or was it just practice?
Yeah, we did. Okay. We did. And this band, so he was a synthesizer guy. I was a drummer, referred to myself as a percussionist at the time. And the lead singer played flute and we had a bass player and no guitar. It was very like experimental. It was like poetry. Basically, it was like music to speak poetry over.
You know about the '60s band Silver Apples? I don't.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Simeon. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The same kind of vibe. Maybe not as funky. I'm sad to say I tried, but it was. You know, there was a lot of gentle. Rototoms with mallets going on.
Whoa.
Cymbal rolls and things like that.
And you guys ended up recording?
Yeah, there's a bunch of recordings out there,
but you didn't blow me.
Nothing was ever released, and I mean they're all on cassettes in storage space somewhere. So
Okay, just curious. Did you guys tour?
No.
And so like in that area, middle of San Joaquin Valley, man.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of pads to play, right?
No. We played it at the same couple of bars over and over again. And we actually had a woman, this woman, Rita, who used to come to our shows and berate us. Like, she was...
What? Review or critique?
No, she just would scream. She would just yell at us.
Oh, it didn't matter how you play. She didn't dig it.
No, she didn't like it. She had a thing. I don't even remember talking to her, but the singer and her had a thing at some point or something. I don't know what happened, but it was a weird time.
Yeah. Youth is wasted on the young.
Exactly. Yes.
Totally. Yeah. So, But it sounds like you're helping other dudes out. Did you get anything going yourself that young?
Yeah, well, Big Butter was kind of the thing that took over at some point. So Greg and I, the guy who was in Festival of Pain, we started doing this thing called the Insight of Blindness, which was like, you know, goth noise band. It was just me and him. And in doing that, I was drums, but also a lot of like cassette. I would fuck with cassettes. I would do tape loops. I would do, effects. I started playing around with reverb and delay and stuff like that.
And the other dude was the synth guy from the last band, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah. So it was really...
Now, with the synth, did he ever... Was he always... It was always operated, or did he use sequence? Did you ever have to play... You played with your own loops, right? You know, Screamers, yeah. KK played with a drum machine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I used to, like, I would stick a microphone in the kick drum and run it through the Korg, the sequencer in there, and it would trigger it every time I hit the kick drum. So you'd get this, like, bow sound.
Yeah.
You know, you could write songs based on that, you know, and so we did some stuff like that. It was pretty fun.
Oh, because you could pitch the shit and stuff, right?
Yeah, you could program in like four notes or five notes or whatever, and then
off
it
of
would,
one hit would give you a little ostinato, a little
figure,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Wow, what a trip!
I think I brought more funk into that band.
Was it the synth guy that got you? Who got you? Because most drummers are told they're stupid and all they can do is hit things.
No, this guy was great. He was very kind of patient with me not wanting to learn anything the right way. You know, I just kind of like. He would do something and I'd go, oh, what could I do with that? You know, and I like the triggering thing. He showed me that just, you know, speaking into a mic and it was changing notes and everything. And I threw it in the bass drum and I was like, oh shit. Okay. I like this.
You repurposed it. Yeah. To your world.
Yeah. Now I'm the bass player too.
Tim, we're at the end of the first hour. We got to move. Now you're the bass player. I like this.
Yeah.
March 1st, 2022, Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, Tim Biscus. Hold tight for hour two. March 1st, 2022. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
see that bird? Jeez, that thing had a beak that wouldn't quit.
You bet I saw her. I heard her too. Squealed loud and clear the whole time she was going by.
Lordy, yes she did. Squealed like the dickens. Had a wingspan that wouldn't quit neither.
Oh yes, some wingspan on that bird. And did you see her land over there?
I sure did. Kind of slid along the ground after touching down. And boy, she really let out a fierce squawking then too.
Yes sirree, a fierce squawking. And did you happen to notice those black spots up and down her sides?
Spots aplenty. And did you see that dynamite tail configuration?
A real configuratory tail indeed. Did you happen to notice she was kind of way too big to be a regular bird?
I sure did. Did you happen to notice that she wasn't a bird at all? In fact, she was 100% airplane.
Come to think of it, I did happen to notice that. And did you forget that we fly those very same type of planes nearly every day because we're airplane pilots?
Well, yes, I was just about to say something very much to that effect.
Well, how about that?
Yes, boy, I just, oh.
Thank you.
Watford Pedro show start off the second hour. Big Butter doing Bearded Horses. And then Jason Stein with Damon Smith and Adam Sheed doing Blue Isn't for Sitting. Skullcaster with the Dance Floor Prolapse version of Thread Me for Your Ass. And finally, Astral Scratch, Big Butter. People, it's Tim Biscuit, not Biscus. I sincerely apologize for being so fucking stupid.
All good.
Okay. Let's continue with the story now. Your experiment, you bring electronics with the drums. What about the thing? I remember, you know, we lost Sly. I know Robbie Shakespeare on the bass, right? And his buddy Sly Dunbar. I remember he moved, like Simmons drum, like the whole drum set's electronic.
Yeah.
Did you go that way?
I didn't. I just didn't have the resources, you know. I put my money into tape machines and things like that. It was, you know, and cymbals. Like I really liked certain kind of cymbals, and I always kind of used everything in different ways. I would take the kit apart and play on things, you know, with mallets and record things. And I started making tape loops. And that's kind of around the time when my younger brother, started playing with music seriously, you know, and he's a bass player and he can play anything really, you know, he learned how to play drums and keyboards and everything. And he started making music by himself on a little Tascam Porta 2. And, we quickly joined forces and just started. And I would take what he made and do edits and remixes and things like that with my tapes and effects and everything. And then we started making music together and it just was like perfect, you know.
Who came up with the name?
I don't remember who it was, but maybe it was him actually, because he just drew a picture of a guy standing on top of a giant piece of butter and it said Big Butter next to it.
I got a butter story.
Yeah.
Yeah, my pop was a sailor, right? Engine room.
Uh-huh.
And Vietnam tours. 8-9 months and all dehydrated chow. So he come back from the tour and we get him at the pier, Long Beach here. And he come in the hatch and the first thing is like 6 half-gallons of milk just, you know, coming down the side.
Yes.
Yeah, he was Jones, and they'd cook up 12 eggs. But the weirdest time was one time I saw he was watching the TV with his back to me. You know, I come into the living room, and I think he's got a bowl of ice cream. He's eating ice cream. And he's got like 3 or 4 sticks of butter in his fucking face. He's eating it with a big spoon. Really. And I looked at him, you know, I didn't even say anything. And he didn't say anything. It was like... It reminded me, remember this cartoon called Wizard of Id, you know, and
yeah.
A little puff of a cloud, poof.
Yeah.
He kind of, that's the notion I got that he wanted me to be like right then, so poof.
Wow, nice.
He had that talk about a fucking Jones. Probably for months he was just thinking of this shit.
Butter.
Was it only a recording composition thing, or did you guys do gigs? Or do you?
Yeah, we did gigs, yeah. It was every
tell me about
gig
the big
different.
Yeah, but the first one, right? You can only have your first one once.
Oh man, you know, we used to just set up at the like auditorium at the amphitheater at the high school with, and nobody was there. It was just us and a couple of friends, and we would just jam, you know. And it's like when it actually turned into Big Butter, I don't really know, but. We played at an Irish bar. Our first gig was in an Irish bar in Fresno. And, we just got up and started playing and we didn't really have a singer and
now, amphitheater, what was their little outlet plugs? Like it was for, like school assembly kind of trip?
Kinda, yeah, yeah.
Or did you bring a generator? I mean, was it a bum rush?
No, it was a total bum rush and we just plugged into the outlets and went for it. There was no like amplification or anything like that. You know, it was, but then when we played at the Irish bar, we had, you know, a PA and everything.
Sure, sure.
And this guy, this friend of ours from the audience got up and started singing and the guitar player was singing and they just made up these songs and they became these like songs that we would always play and nothing that we ever recorded.
So you guys weren't just a duo.
Yeah, I mean, it was always, we were always the core, but then whenever we played live, it's like, what are we going to do? Go up there and do it ourselves? I mean,
you'd have friends like supplement your mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You gave me this one, Bosa Thrift.
Mm hmm.
Yeah. Let's listen.
Okay.
Watch for Pedro show that chunk of music. Start off with Bossa Thrift from Big Butter. Then If Bawada with Zone 1A. Or Zon, sorry. There's no E there. Clear Walk Away from Mark Shippey and Alex Cunningham. Electro Capra from Italy with Bri King Empire. And then finally the Merc. Big Butter. People, I was asking Tim about this process, how Big Butter, because improvised music has always tripped me out. Like, who goes first?
Mm-hmm. It's always different. I mean, like, that Bossa Thrift record is literally me. It started out with me switching on one of those old organs at a thrift store and playing a bossa nova beat. And I recorded it.
Oh, you're talking about these organs that would have like a rhythm section.
Same time, there was this, so it was a combination of like somebody pushing around silverware in a tray or in a bin. Yeah. And this lady said something in Spanish at the same time. And so that loop, I just figured out, like, playing around with it, I figured out a way that it sounded like she was kind of singing, and then we built the whole song around that.
You mean you went into the thrift store with a tape recorder?
With a cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, a voice memo kind of trip?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Okay. See, people, technology don't all have to be totally shitty. You can capture shit, too. Compose, yep. And create with. Okay, so you have a secret guest star, an anonymous guest star on this. Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, I took a picture of that and sent it to Money Mark, and I'm like, hey,
Money Mark, you see that? Like,
yeah.
You know him? Okay.
He's my buddy.
Yeah, love it.
Love that guy.
Keyboard repair, right?
Hell yeah! And I was like, should I get this? And he's like, no, I don't get it, but play around with it a little bit, you know. And I just. I was like, all right, I'm all over that. So it ended up on the album.
And what about, like, the Merc?
Yeah, so that first part of it is something that my brother made he was back in Clovis, living with our parents in 1986.
Clovis, that's the same town. Because it was people. Fresno, it's like a lot of places. There's a main thing. And if it's big enough, it's got little things outside and closed a little bit north on the way to Yosemite. So you went first for Bossa Thrift, but your brother mm-hmm. goes first for the Merc.
Yeah. Yeah. And that second part of it that's like a long drone thing that sounds kind of sparkly.
Yeah.
That's actually a sample of a YMO record.
Magic Orchestra from Tokyo.
Yeah. So I just took that and ran it through a bunch of different tape machines and stuff and ended up with that.
So again, about the processing. So, like, your brother, listen to these sounds I got. And you're listening to this and you're thinking, some YMO would sound pretty good right here.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of taking the kind of feeling of one piece of music and merging it with another one. And so, taking the sort of wild, distorted, drug-addled, psychedelic edge of that first part, and then having it float into this, like, crystal, vapor at the end. I don't know. There's just something really poetic and kind of,
It also sounds like to me?
Mm.
Cinematic.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a journey.
Yeah.
It's not so much loop. It might be built with loops, but it's kind of a journey. Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 1st, 2022, edition Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Tim Biscup. Hold tight for hour three. March 1st, 2022, it's third hour, Watt Pedro Show.
of ages. could recall. Thank you.
Bought for Pedro Show, start off third hour. Big Butter doing Spill Number 2. Then the Ratchet Orchestra out of Montreal. Winnow, 2001. Also from Montreal, Miriam Gendron with I Wonder As I Wander. And finally, Big Butter, Girl Who Holds the Sun. Tim, enlighten us to those two comps there, compositions.
Oh, man. Girl Who Holds the Sun was a trip. I mean, I gathered sound from all over the place for that thing. There's a sound at the end that's like a splashing sound. There's a bunch of water, yeah. And that's like we went out to this river and we were just jumping into the water and splashing and kind of got rhythms out of that. There's another whole stretch of time in there that was we got the keys to the orchestra room at the City College in Fresno and brought the four-track reel-to-reel in there and recorded a bunch of loops. And, I can't remember what else is in there, but it's all tape loops and it's all me sort of like sitting and mixing things and, trying to figure out how to fit them together in interesting ways.
So your brother's a smaller part of this too.
Well, he played a lot of that stuff. I mean, the piano parts are all him playing and me recording it. I was never, one for making tonal music at all. I just trusted him to do that part.
Okay. But then he becomes like another part of your big library, your vocabulary to choose from when it comes to...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that Astral Scratch song is the same way. It's actually three different songs that he recorded that I took and put into the computer and started playing with and started adding things to. And that was probably the thing that I worked the hardest on that album. That song, it was so dense and there's so many little changes and there were so many little delicate things that I did that we went back and forth on and he would say, it just doesn't sound right going into that after that. And I would play with it again. And it was, sometimes when it's hard, it sounds better,
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, unless you're just lucky, right?
Right.
So she comes up with these three pieces, knowing they were going to be used? No.
No.
They're separate trips, right?
No. He sends things to me a lot of times, and he's just like, I don't... He has basically said, I give up after I send them to you. I don't really... I try not to think about what they're going to be turned into. And sometimes they're perfect the way they are. I mean, there's a lot of Big Butter stuff that's just him and something he recorded. And it's the same with me. A lot of it is just me. And we sort of agreed a long time ago that we're just going to put everything under that shell. And
well, let me ask you about the first tune that we played today.
Mm-hmm.
Left Field. How
did
that come about? That's got Spiel and stuff.
Yeah, that I think that's me playing drums. But goddamn, it's so long ago, I can't remember. But I think what it is that I played a drum part without anything else, and then he just started recording music on top of it. And there's some real clunky drum stuff that happens in there. And I maybe didn't think he was going to actually do anything with it when I was playing, But then he just kind of made music around it and made it all make sense. And I don't know, I think it's a really powerful thing, and the words are all him. I mean, it's great.
Oh, really? But they were probably stream of conscious, right?
I think he probably wrote them down right before he recorded it,
Oh, okay.
But who knows? There's a lot of stream of consciousness with that guy.
What about Bearded Horses? I didn't ask you at that time about, because that was a trip.
Yeah, that's a weird one. We had just gotten done, we put out our first album and we wanted to do something really quick, so we did that as like a one-sided 7-inch single, and we just thought, let's put as much as we can into one side of a single, and sort of treated it almost like a whole album side, just put a bunch of different things in there.
But it was like purpose. It wasn't like, hey, what do I got laying around? It's like you guys had a mission in mind.
Yeah, yeah. That stuff was mostly, I think, recorded just to be played with in that context. You know, and I around that time I was listening to a lot of cut up music, a lot of like Nurse with Wound and you know, European avant-garde experimental music and hot
hoot Deutsche Grammophon.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Stone had a show in the 70s. I was a teenager listening to KPFK. And it was called Imaginary Landscape. And he would play the most trippy stuff. He's in Tokyo teaching music nowadays.
I love that guy.
Oh, you know about us? Yeah, wow. And he turned me on to so much. And for me, the punk movement was right in line with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, you know, I grew up listening to Negative Land on the radio and stuff. Ah. I mean, that was rebroadcast into the Fresno public radio station from Berkeley.
Right.
And, you know, so I just ate that shit up.
You gave me Winter Squash. I want to play Winter Squash.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Big Butter, Winter Squash. Then Groove Crater Method, Brother Phil up in Manna. Voices Outside My Head, the Fucked Up Music Mix. Finally, the big baby, right? And it's an edit, so it must be way longer, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Brain Sled from Big Butter. From Lightness, Tim.
So Brain Sled was, once we did that Bearded Horses record with all the cut-ups on it, we just thought, let's do another thing like that. And so we did a whole album that was basically just, it was taking things that we had already recorded that didn't go anywhere else and just put them together. We recorded some stuff specifically for it, but it was just a cut-up experiment, and we put it out as a cassette, and we eventually released it as a double album a little more recently. But yeah, that's really all over the place. And then Winter Squash is probably, I think it's the most recent thing I gave you. And it's sort of like the newer version, the more polished version of what Brain Sled and the other one were. You know, it starts out as a kind of free music experimentation where we recorded a bunch of tracks of us playing drums and piano and all kinds of different instruments, and then it sort of it sort of breaks into some kind of music structure, and then I started playing with it in the computer and sort of finding that structure and building on that and adding rhythm to it, and then at the end it goes into this like really dense electronic drone that sort of resets the whole thing, and then it's like an electronic offbeat savage attack. I got really intense at the end. It's like when I'm pushing the faders and playing around with editing in the computer, there's times when I just sit back and I go, oh my God, like this is taking on a life of its own. And that the end of that piece is like that. Like it just makes me want to dance every time I hear it.
Yeah. True. And how long is the whole baby, the whole enchilada? Because it says edit here.
Yeah, well, Brain Sled is 60 minutes. It was a 60-minute cassette, and it's like the album, the vinyl version is close to 60 minutes as well, but it's a little bit reworked.
And what's going on with Big Butter right now?
We're dormant. I'm mostly a painter and a visual artist, and, you know, I play with music all the time while I'm at my studio. I use a lot of synthesizers and stuff like that and just put things on and goof around with them. But, you know, and every once in a while we come together and we put together all the things that we've been working on and start to kind of process it. And we're in that space right now. That last album came out, I think, in 2015, and we'll probably have another one in the next couple of years, I would guess. But
is there a way people can know about it via the internet? Is there a website?
There's just a Bandcamp page. Big Butter at Bandcamp, I think, is it.
Probably BIGBUTTER.bandcamp.com.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. People, listeners, go check that out. And so dormant. So there was no music during the situation the last couple of years.
Not really. You know, we're both visual artists too.
I think that's great. To me, it's all expression.
Why
they gotta be all split up? That's like stupid genre shit music.
Mm-hmm. And our last album that we put out, we did a gallery show as well. And, you know, live performed some of it live and did some, you know, we literally were in the gallery with paintings hanging around us, you know, sitting on the floor with instruments playing music.
Wow. You know, Cat Beefheart ended up just doing paint.
Yeah. I can relate.
Yeah. And, well, you know,
it's all the same, you know.
Yeah,
it's
expression in different forms.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful though having you aboard and telling them that when you get this new album, and maybe we get a conference going so your brother can spiel too.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on, and please keep on keeping on. Peyton, drumming, sound manipulate. It's all clay for your throwing the wheel and get that pot spun.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Much respect. People, March 1st, 2022, this Watt Pedo Show. Keep your powder.